Okay, thank you very much. I would like to also first to thank for this opportunity to come here and talk in front of you and tell you a little bit about what's going on in the Vaasa region also. And my responsibility is, let's start up the presentation so I have something to show you. My responsibility is something we call Energy Vaasa, and that's basically a concentration of all the energy technology and energy producing companies we have in the Vaasa region. And my headline for this day was Global Solutions for Local Needs, and I will start off by telling you about what we have to offer for the global situation when we talk about renewables and energy efficiency. And then I will finish off by showing a local solution that we have done in Vaasa to really utilize this also partly this technology. But let's start off with this. I think it's no news to anybody that the energy market is really going through a big change. And there's a lot of things happening, there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of opportunities. And we are moving towards renewable energy sources. We have to all the time think about energy efficiency and how to be as efficient as possible on that side. And I think quite a big milestone is in 2007. I think quite many have talked already about the 2020 objectives, and I will talk a little bit about it still, because it's quite an important issue. And it's a question about increasing the shares of renewable energy sources in all of Europe to 20%, and also improve the energy efficiency with 20%. So that's really a big target. And it's very clear that it creates good opportunities for an area which is very strong on energy technology, and but at the same time, it's the time when you really need to think about also what you are producing and what is the time, because the challenges are big. You need to produce new technology, you need to develop the technology, and you really need to stay in touch. And this is a very international business. The Finnish market also is very small, and it's. When you start to work with energy technology, it's very obvious that you need to go for the global business, like our colleague or like the Winwind presentation already stated, that it's quite clear. You need to have strong networks, even though we are talking about big companies in the Finnish scale. We are quite small globally, and we need to really pull our strengths together to be able to compete on that market. And we need, of course, to have the right experts. But if we talk about, and there's a few words about Energy Vaasa in figures, I won't spend too much time on this. We have totally about 120 companies that are involved in the energy business. It's either they are producing directly energy technology products, or then they are producing components for the companies who produce these final products. And totally, it's about 10,000 employees today. We aim that in 10 years, in 2020, it will be the double figure. But still today, we are talking already that we have about 25% of all manpower working with energy technology in Finland are situated in the Vaasa region. The total business turnover is about 4 billion, and the export rate is 70%. So it's like I said, it's a very, very international business. If we compare to the technology industry figures, about 12% of all Finnish technology exports comes from the Vaasa region. And we have a population base of about 2% of Finland, so it's quite a high figure. And this is all technology. If we talk about only energy technology, the same figure is somewhere around 25%, so it's quite big. There are about 800 experts that are specialized in energy research and development, both in the companies, but also, of course, in the universities and research institutes we have in the region. Totally, there are about 20,000 students in the region, so it's quite big. The total population, by the way, of the Vaasa region is about 100,000. So it's not that big region, even with the Finnish scale. How important the innovation and the constant development is at this time shows that if we compare all the Finnish companies and how much they invest in R&D, within the three first companies, two are from the Vaasa region or are heavily represented in the Vaasa region. Like we heard earlier about ABB, that one is both in Helsinki and in Vaasa, and then Wärtsilä, which you will hear more about later, is quite strong in that region. This figure, just quickly to show you that if we compare the technology industry in Finland and how the development have been, you can see that the orange curve is following from 2000 to 2007 very directly the whole Finnish industry and the whole Finnish technology industry. But in 2007 something happened, and then our region started to show out quite drastically, and that's because of then started a really big growth in the energy business, and there we can see that it's really something, quite a lot going on over there. And it has also affected so that even the financial recess didn't affect us so badly. But then something still about what is being produced and what we have to offer to the global market on both energy efficiency and renewable energy sources. Smart grids have been shown in quite many presentations, and still I won't go into details, but it's extremely important, and it's something that enables the new way of producing energy without being able to really restructure the distribution of electricity. We won't be able to produce it in the way that we have planned, so it's very important. And ABB is one of the leader, and they have basically all distribution automation situated in Vaasa. But then we talk about wind and solar power, and we have several companies which produce components for both, and then we have one turbine manufacturer who will actually install their first turbine this year, so they are in a R&D stage at the moment. Frequency converters, then we talk about energy efficiency. There is a lot of discussion about households and heating and so on, how to improve the energy efficiency there, but still about more than 40% of all electricity is produced by the industry, and there is quite big portion with electrical motors, and with a frequency converter you can save up to 40% of the consumption in an electrical motor. And today I think that about 10% of all the motor applications in the world have a frequency converter, so there is really a big potential there. But there are generators, electrical motors, ABB, Wärtsilä. They are big in power plants and distributed generation with diesel and gas engines, fuel cell technology, geothermal heating. I will go into a little bit more later. There is just under built a plant which will turn waste into energy, and then of course production and the local production of energy is going through a big. Of course, we need also to produce in the same way as everybody else. It's not just the technology, it's also the energy. There are cases about this. I won't go into details here. Just the facts I also stated about frequency converters. But let's move into this local, what we have done locally and how we implement this locally. And this is just one example, but I think it's quite interesting and also something that quite many could take example of. So there is a residential area in Vaasa. It has about 40 houses and four apartment buildings, and this area is entirely self-sufficient from energy point of view. And this means that there is a small power plant which produces both the amount of electricity and heat that is needed by this small community. And there is also quite a lot of new innovations that are either just in a very prototype phase or then they are already technology that can be utilized. But the geothermal heating is quite special because there is utilized actually the sediment in the bottom of the sea, and the heat from the, and actually it was all by mistake that this company, which is now developing this technology, they noticed that the amount of temperature just below the bottom of the sea is much higher than if you drill much deeper into the ground. So actually what they did is that they made a centralized low energy network for that residential area, and then each customer just connect with their heat pump to this centralized network. And that is quite new and opens up very new possibilities for geothermal heating. And then the other way of producing energy in that area is that just close by there is an old waste dump which was closed already a few years ago, but an old waste dump will produce methane gas for more than 20 years, even after it's closed. So what they did is to collect the gas from that waste dump and lead it to the power plant in that region, and then produce electricity and heat in two different ways. There is a solid oxide fuel cell. There is actually a spelling mistake here, which is quite new technology, which produces electricity and heat, and then there are micro turbines. But I will show you a little bit more about this later on. Okay, here is a figure. I hope I have time to show you the animation showing this. I'm not sure if I will, but if I will, I will go through it. But here you can see there wasn't probably a laser pointer here, but we can see the. Did you have a pointer or something?
There is in the box.
Oh, it's here. No.
No.
It's not. Okay, perhaps I can utilize the mouse now. Okay, I can manage with this one. So we can see the houses, the small houses are in this area and also in this area, and then the apartment buildings are here. Here can we see the collectors which are collecting the heat from the bottom of the sea, and then the waste dump is actually back here, and then we can see the pipeline coming from there leading the gas to the heart of the energy, which is the power plant over here. Let's move on. Here we can see quite a diagram, a very simplified diagram of what it's all about. It's the sediment layer under the sea, which is collected with a centralized low energy network, and then this network is utilized in the houses with heat pumps. And then we have the waste dump gases, the biogas is led to the power plant. Then there are the fuel cell technology and the micro turbine technology, which produces both heat and electricity. And in theory, the fuel cell works in the same way as a micro turbine. It has a little bit better or more. It produces a little bit more electricity than heat compared to the micro turbine. But it's also totally quiet, and it basically have no emissions at all. So, and the quietness makes that it's possible to utilize a fuel cell almost anywhere. And here you can see also how the energy is being used. The heating and cooling low energy network is about two-thirds of the energy. And then the electricity needed for the heat pumps and also household electricity is then produced by the fuel cell and micro turbines. And then the apartment buildings are heated by district heating that comes from there. So if we take a look at how much actually we can reduce carbon dioxide emissions here, so there is Here's a calculation which compares the current situation, how the heat and electricity is being produced, then produced compared with a traditional way, heating with oil and electricity production with coal. So compared to this, with these two situations, it's about 1.7 million kilograms of annual CO2 emissions that are saved, and that equals to about the emissions of 100 cars, the annual emission of 100 cars. So we are talking about quite a small area which affects few hundreds of people, but still these things that have been made, they make quite a big difference in these emissions. So it's small things that lead to the bigger things and so on. And here we have something about this. Actually, this fuel cell is a very interesting project that is going on, and it's in development stage right now. They aim at having a commercial product in 2015 with this new solid oxide fuel cell. And the big advantage with the solid oxide technology is that it can use biogas directly. And it can use methane gas, it can use quite many different types of like, for example, methanol and natural gas also. So it's quite a good open up quite a lot of possibilities once it will be ready. How much time do I have, or did I use up everything?
You have some animations to
show. Yes.
Go on.
Okay. Okay, so here's the companies which has been involved, Wärtsilä with the fuel cell, Mateve with this energy network, and then some other ones also. So here we can actually see the region. It's called the New Energy Site, which I told you about earlier. And so here we can see this is in Finnish and Swedish, sadly not in English. But here we can see actually where this is the waste dump up there. And we have the leading the biogas to the power plant, which is down here, and so on. But here we see the waste dump, and it's already covered and covered totally, and the gas is being collected. Methane gas is a worse greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. So actually, if you don't collect it or do something with it, it has to be burnt anyway. You cannot let it out in the air. But of course, it's much better to utilize it for energy, because it's there anyway, and it will be there for 20 years. And there, the gas is led to the power plant. It seemed to be a little bit slow in advancing this. And there we can see the actual power plant and what's inside that power plant. And there is also a heat pump mainly for testing, but very similar to the heat pumps that are used in all the houses. This is the fuel cell technology, so it's quite small and quite compact. And then there are the microturbines in parallel. So microturbines today are producing major part of the energy, but the fuel cell is the interesting technology actually. And here's basically what they are producing. So heat, the fuel cell is producing 15 kilowatts of heat and 20 kilowatts of electricity, and then the microturbines are producing quite a lot of heat and more electricity also. So here's very slowly shown what it's about. And then this is just to visualize that the electricity is used then on the area. Of course, the electricity is fed into the normal grid, but it's just a calculation that the amount of electricity fed is used. And here is the collectors that go out in the sea, and this low energy network collects the heat from the ground or the bottom of the sea. And then it goes to the to the normal house, and where it's a heat pump turns, pumps up the heat and heats up the house. Okay, and then there's just some general pictures of Vasa, so this is fine. But so this was to show also how, what just one way of how this technology is utilized also locally. Thank you.
Thank you. Some quick questions? Yep. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Just a short question related to the economy of this project. Can you give us some figures? What is the cost? And
yes, I have them, but I haven't seen. But actually, it was financed by the companies to major part. The city of Vasa was also involved, and it was actually a shared finance. But I don't remember the total finances. I have them. I can let you know them later if you are interested still. Just give me your card.
Yes, there's a good line into my presentation. I'm on next. Who got the idea to this local project?
I think it was. I think that the city of Vasa, of course, is looking for all the time for new solutions. How to what can be utilized to get a better energy efficiency and also move to renewables. So they were very interested. But a very big driver behind this have been Wärtsilä, who have the new technology for this fuel cell technology, which they got a very good site also to use for R&D purposes and testing purposes. So I think it's quite a joint effort, and also this low energy network was like, which is quite a new innovation to do it, not only the sediment in the sea, but also to do it centralized with a centralized network, and that is a local, actually a small company who is using that technology today.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks.